Good morning, everyone. Boker Tov. Welcome. It's not exactly a sunny day here in Chicago, but Baruch Hashem, it is a wonderful new week, in Elul, continued growth. We're going to begin momentarily. Boker Tov, good morning, everyone. I hope you can see and hear. Great to welcome you back. We are continuing our discussion of the Chabad, the Lubavitch saying of the Alter Rebbe, that during this time, during Elul, HaMelech Basodeh, the king is in the field. So last week, we spoke about HaMelech, the king, as a being which is omnipotent, capable of everything. We spoke about the idea of the prism, of how the king connects to the subjects. And then we spoke about the affect, the feeling of the king being benevolent and being beloved. Today we're going to talk about the Sodeh. Why is it that specifically the king is found in the Sodeh, in the field? What is the message? What do we understand from the Sodeh? So perhaps we can think about three different aspects, three dimensions of the concept of the Sodeh. And each of these will hopefully enhance our understanding of this experience that we're in right now, in the experience of Elul. So let's begin with this sefer of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Many of you know this famous 19th century German commentator who explains a pasuk, a somewhat cryptic pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Ki yaver ish sode ocher v'shilach es b'iro ubir b'steacher, meitav sode u'meitav karma yishalim. This verse, which is maybe the linchpin of much of tractate Bava Kama, dealing with issues of damages. It tells us that the words here are a little hard to translate, so I'll use the translation they have here. If a person allows a field or vineyard to be damaged by livestock, which is not a literal translation, it's just a loose translation, it literally means, ki yaver ish sado cherem, if a person will somehow yaver, bier, destroy a field or a vineyard, v'shilach is bier, and he sends his animal and it destroys in stay acher, someone else's field, the best of that field and the best of that vineyard, he should pay. By the way, if you see rain dripping in the background, don't worry, I'm under the tent and you're at home, so we're all good. Don't let it distract you. It's just dripping in the background. Rav Hirsch wants to understand, why is it that the Torah tells us that the animal is entering or is devouring, is affecting sode ocherem? So Rav Hirsch says something absolutely fantastic, fascinating. He says there's a difference between a sodeh and a kerem. And as we mentioned earlier, this one verse is the source of much of the discussion about the rules of damages, of what we call shein or regel, the animal eating or the animal stomping, damaging somebody else's property. And so Rav Hirsch discusses a lengthy gemara in Bava Kama, Machlokas and the Rishonim, and then he points to a story later on in the Chumash, in the Parsha of Bilam. And the Torah describes how when Bilam, I'll read it to you, when Bilam was riding his donkey, first the donkey, when he sees the malach, hens moves over to a field. There it is. The malach, first it goes in the field. And Bilam, as you know, hits the animal. And then, then the animal ends up, wanders into a vineyard, and there is a fence on this side and this side. Amazing ha'ara from Rav Hirsch. Amazing how he picks this up. He says, you notice the first time when the animal veered off the road and ended up in a field, it ended up in a field. So Bilam hits the animal. Then, when he hits him again, he's b'mishal akramim, he's in a kerem, in a vineyard. God, there's a fence on each side. So says Rav Hirsch, a sodeh is normally an open, unfenced area, whereas a kerem is protected and fenced. So he then gets into, which we're not going to talk about today, this machlokas, this debate in the Rishonim in the Gemara in Bava Kama. And he says, that's what this verse in Parsha Shmos is talking about. Ki yaver ish, when a person's animal will go into a sodeh, a generally unfenced area, o cherem, or into a vineyard, which is generally a fenced area. So a sodeh, a field, has no fence. So that's the key. What do you mean that's the key? That's exactly the key. We are saying that generally, the melech, where is the melech found? The melech is found in the palace. And now, all of a sudden, the king is basada. He's in the field. How would you characterize a palace? I don't know how many of you have ever been to a castle. Nachum and I had the opportunity several years ago to spend some time in Scotland, in Glasgow, with my Rabbi Moshe Rubin. Some of you recall, before Shavuos, we did a shiur together with the Glasgow community, because we have, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful kesher. And in visiting Scotland, I had the opportunity to see Edinburgh Castle. And what characterizes a castle, at least certainly from the outside, are the walls of the castle. And usually there are multiple layers of walls. There's an exterior wall, then there's a moat, then there's the main wall of the castle, then there are walls inside, from the inside of that. You know, usually when you go to Scotland, you have to stop somewhere in England. So we happened to stop in London on the way over. So we saw the crown jewels. And again, the castles throughout the United Kingdom, they're walls inside of walls inside of walls. But not when we talk about HaMelech Basadeh. During Elul, the king is in the Sadeh, because the king is in a place, as Rav Hirsch, which is a Sadeh. There are no walls. During the rest of the year, there are walls by design. Many in the Hasidic tradition, based on the Baal Shem Tov and others, they talk about the idea of walls and the idea of the king in the palace. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is our beloved king, who cares about us, who wants to be with us, he deliberately puts us outside of the palace, and he sets up, let's say, seven walls, seven barriers, to give us the opportunity to demonstrate how much we want to be with him, and how much we want to connect to him, and how, to what lengths we will go to get inside the palace to be with him. So you'll find many mishalim of the king who put his son outside of the palace, and the king wants to spend the time with the son, and the son wants to see the king, so the king scales the first wall, and then there's the moat, and he has to swim through the moat, and then there are guards, and he has to avoid the... That's the Yetzirah, that's the challenges of this world, the world that we're in right now. The world that's raining on us. Right? There are barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the Motzei Yom Kippur, Haba Aleinu Letova, there's going to be a shofar blast, but that comes right after Hashem Hu Elokim seven times. Why do we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, and why do we blow the shofar Motzei Yom Kippur? Because Tosis points out that the blowing of the shofar is a siman, it's an indicator that the Shechina is departing. Well, it's departing because it's going up through the seven Rekiyim, the seven heavens, so to speak. Those seven heavens are the seven barriers. And we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times because we're acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going back higher and higher, or more in this mashal, retreating within the barriers and the walls of the palace in the Armon, one at a time, through those seven palaces, those seven barriers. But not in Elul. That's at the end of the Yemei Ratzon, the conclusion of Yom HaKippurim. But right now, the king is in the Sodeh. There's unlimited access. You ever drive on the highway? And you'll see sometimes on the side, we had this summer, we were driving in different places here in Illinois and in Michigan and Wisconsin. For those of you who are watching on the East Coast, so these are states in Middle America. You'll find them if you come and visit. We know, locally, we know these states. And especially if you drive out of the Chicago area, you just see farmland, open farmland. You could spot the king way out in the field, and there's nothing stopping you from approaching him. Because there's no gader, Rav Hirsch says. The sada is open. It's unfenced. So that's number one. Elul HaMelech Basada, the king is unfenced. There's nothing keeping us back from approaching him. There are no mechitzos. There's no gader. That's number one. Number two, there is a Mishnah. There's a Gemara Maseches Sota, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, which quotes a very interesting and cryptic verse, a Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Hachin bachutz malachtecha ve'atada basode loch achar ubanisa beisecha. First, you set up the outside work on the outside and arrange the field, and then go in and build your home. That's what it says. So the Gemara says in Sota, a fascinating verse. The Gemara says that one opinion is that, says the Gemara, prepare your malacha, your work outside. Bachutz zemikra. That's Tanakh. Va'atada basode. And what's the field? Va'atada basode loch zem Mishnah. That's Mishnah. Achar ubanisa beisecha zegemara. So we're going from the way out, which is mikra, to the way in, which is your bias, which is Gemara, to the Mishnah, which is in the middle. So the Malbim, the Heilige Malbim, the Meir Leibush, also Germany, also 19th century, he points out in his commentary on the Chumash in Vayikra and Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hei, in the context of shechting animals al pnei hasade, in the sode, in the field, which is not acceptable. He says, you know what the word sode means? Sode has the connotation of an intermediary, of a bridge, of a point of contact, whereby on one hand, you have the chutz, you have the outside, and then on the other hand, you have the inside, you have the bias, but the sode is somewhere in the middle. It's the point of meeting. It's between what he calls the midbar and the bias. And he says that's why the Gemara refers to Mishnah as a sode, because the original text, that Dvar Hashem, that core corpus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression in the world, that is the Mikra, that's on the one end. And on the other hand is the deep reason, the rationale, the arguments, that's the Gemara. What bridges the Torah Shebichsav and the lumdus of Torah Shebaal Peh is the Mishnah, is the code of law, which is on the one hand concise, and it's an explication and application of the Torah Shebichsav. On the other hand, it's not as deep as the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the building that bridge. Perhaps not only is the Melech in the Sode, in that the Sode is accessible to everyone, it's that the Sode is meant to remind us of a place of meeting, a place of meeting in the middle where we can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Melech is in the Sode. He's not out there somewhere who's lost where nobody can find him. He's waiting in the Sode for us to meet him there. That's the point of contact. Says the Malbim, the Sode is the Emtza. It's the middle. And maybe that's why there's an unbelievably fascinating Gemara in the end of Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells us that we're ultimately going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash, v'holchu amim rabim l'chu v'nale el har Hashem be'el Beis Elokei Yaakov, Beis Elokei Yaakov, the house of the God of Yaakov. Why is that significant? V'lo, says the Gemara, v'lo Elokei Avram v'Yitzchak. It's not the God of Avram and Yitzchak. That's not the focal point of this. Why? Because Yaakov built a bias. That's the Beis HaMikdash, the house. Lo Avram Shekos Bohar, not Avram Avinu, who established our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a place of meeting, which is a har, a mountain. Shinemar says in the Pasuk Asher Yomer Hayom, as we'll say in the reading in Rosh Hashanah, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. Avram Avinu connected to God on the level of the har, the mountain. Mount Moriah, that's Akedas Yitzchak. That's Avram Avinu. V'lo ki Yitzchak Shekos Bo Sadeh, and not about Yitzchak Avinu, who connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basode. Yitzchak goes out to Davin to have a conversation, to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Sode, in the field. That's not what we're talking about. Rather, it's Yaakov who built a house. Who is the Sode in this orientation? Avraham Avinu is the Har, that mountain that overlooks the expanse, that reaches everything. And Yaakov Avinu is the bias, who's within the four walls, surrounded by the tent, the sukkah, the house. But where's Yitzchak? Yitzchak is in the Sode. Yitzchak is davening in the Sode because Yitzchak is the Emtza. Yitzchak is the bridge. Yitzchak is the bridge between Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. So perhaps this is why Yitzchak is associated with the Sode, because the Sode is the place of contact, is that bridge. So number one, the Sadeh is the makom that's parat. It's open. Anybody can access. We can all access HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. Number two, he's dafka waiting in the Sadeh because that's the point of contact. That's where people connect. That's where they meet. Maybe that's why when Boaz is going to have that encounter with Rus, where does she go? She goes to the Sadeh. That's where a lot of things are happening. That's where people are meeting. That's where people are working. They're interacting. The Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be in the Sadeh. I'm going to be in a place where we could just be with each other. We're going to add a little bit of davening at the end, L'David Hashem Ori. We're going to add a little bit of Tkiyah Shofar. We're going to try to hint to the fact that right now, at this very moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more present. He's in the Sadeh, and so are we. That's number two. But number three, there maybe is even a more powerful aspect of the idea of the Sadeh, especially as it connects to Yitzchak Avinu. There is an incredible Pirush on Chumash called Tzror HaMor. The Tzror HaMor was written by Rav Avram ben Rav Yaakov Sava, who lived in the 15th century. Some of us actually spoke about Rav Avram Sava a few years ago on Tisha B'Av, because Rav Avram Sava's life was, it's just an unbelievable story of courage, of heroism, because he first experienced the Spanish expulsion in 1492, and where did he run? He ran to Portugal and was then subsequently expelled from Portugal in 1497. And then he runs away, ends up in Fez in Morocco, and he writes this Pirush on Chumash. It's unbelievable, unbelievable story. But he looks at Parshas Vayetze, at this pasuk that we mentioned, Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. Yitzchak went out to daven in the field. Yitzchak is associated with Sode. Yitzchak is the second of the Avos. We had Avram, number one, Yitzchak, number two, Yaakov, number three. And he says, you see that we're all going El Beis Elokei Yaakov. Why is that? So he says, you know why? Because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are correlated to the three Batei Mikdash. Avraham Avinu relates to the first Beis Hamikdash. Yitzchak Avinu relates to the second Beis Hamikdash. And Yaakov Avinu, he relates to the third, the ultimate Beis Hamikdash, the final and complete Beis Hamikdash, Sheyibana B'Meheira V'Yameinu. Yitzchak Avinu is the second Beis Hamikdash. You know what it says in the Pasuk? Tzion Sade Techoresh. Tzion will be a field that is Choresh. It is plowed under. It is destroyed and plowed up. Many of you remember the Mishnah, the En Maseches Tanis, that teaches us that there were five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Of course, the Batei Mikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. What's the last of the five things? Nechrisha Ha'ir. It was plowed under. There are differences of opinion in the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Bishonim exactly which Roman official plowed under Yerushalayim during the period of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, 65 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This rebellion was quashed, and then the city was plowed. It was Nechrash. A field can be plowed under, it can be destroyed, and then mamish totally, totally ground up. We thought maybe we're going to have Yeshua ground up. And that's part of the sadness of Tisha B'Av, that it was plowed under. It was a Sodet Tzion, Sodet Techoresh. What a powerful ha'ara. What are we learning from this? The Melech, the king, is even in the Sodet. The Melech comes out to the place even when there is destruction, even when it's plowed under. Not only is it destroyed, but it's even plowed. The Melech is still there. On an individual level, sometimes the person, Rachman al-Itzlan, we look back at our Cheshbon HaNefesh and we see what's happened here. We look in the mirror sometimes and we say, there's a lot of Churban here, Lo Aleinu. There's a lot of things, there are a lot of things that are messed up. We made so many mistakes. Look where we ended up. Look at how we speak, look at how we act, look at how we comport ourselves, and we go on and on. And we look at ourselves, unfortunately, lo aleinu, we see churban. Sometimes Rachmana Litzlan, somebody feels that they're so far gone. They're not just at the level of Churban, they're at the level of Nechrash, that it's plowed under, that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far, so broken, so damaged, it's plowed under. Each one of us is a mini Mikdash. It's a house, our guf is a housing of Kedusha. And we look at that Mikdash and we wonder what happened to it over the past year. It can give us a Chalisha Sadas. It can make us feel like there isn't hope. And perhaps this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to tell us, that the Melech is in the Sadeh, that even if we feel like a Sadeh, that we feel like we haven't been planted in years, that we're plowed under, we're so destroyed, we're desolate, we are Sadeh Teicharesh, the Melech is still here. It's not too far gone. The first thing that I thought of when I was thinking about this topic as a Kohen is an incredible Gemara also in Maseches Sota. Because the Gemara says in Sota, Daf Lamed Ches, that when a Kohen goes to Duchen, so when I go up with my children, my sons to the front, or when I used to go up with my father as a child, we would go up to the front of the shul, and all the people who were sitting on the Mizrach in the front of the shul, they would move to the back. They would move to the back. Why is that? Because the Gemara says here in Sota Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis that you have to face the people when you bless them, and they have to face you. So much so that the Gemara tells us that if a person, Am She'achore HaKohanim, Eino B'chlal Bracha, a person who is standing behind the Kohen, is not included in the Bracha of Birchas Kohanim. They're excluded. And that's why all the people will go from the Mizrach Van, from the front of the Shul, to the back. Because then when the Kohanim turn around and they face the people, we are Panim Keneged Panim. The Kohanim are looking at you, the community, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael. Because if you're behind the Kohanim, then it doesn't work. The Gemara has a question, though. Is that true? Is that true that Birchas Kohanim only works if you're looking at the people in front of you? You might want to know what happens in the following case. Let's say you have a Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim, a shul that is totally Kohanim. So the Gemara wants to know, in this case, in that case, what happens if you have nobody in the shul? All the Kohanim are blessing. So the Gemara says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says that they still give the bracha. The Gemara says the following, Am Shebesados, the people in the Sode in the field, Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Chav Ches Orachayim, Kuf Chav Ches Chav Dalet, Am Shebesados, Shim Trudim B'mamalachtam, Ve'inam Yecholim Lavo Ahim B'chlal Bracha. The people in the Sodeh, they're so busy at work, they're busy with Olam Hazeh, and they can't get to Shul. They can't get to Shul. Their Yiddishkeit is really broken, it's really far gone. They're not in the Shul, and yet, even they are included in the Bracha. Because on the one hand, yes, you have to be Panim Keneged Panim, to be included in the Birchas Kohanim, you have to be the interaction, that face-to-face interaction of Birchas Kohanim. But there are some people who aren't even at that level. They're not even in shul. They're Rachmana Litzlan so assimilated, they're so far out there that you would think that the Birchas Kohanim can't reach them. But the Gemara tells us, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Halacha L'maisa, that the bracha reaches them too. It's true. If somebody's in shul and they can't be bothered to go back from behind the Kohanim and get into the front and show that they care to be part of that, they wouldn't be included in the bracha. But the Mishnah Berurah even points out that even today, even people who are sitting behind the Kohanim, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, quotes from the Bach, who is Malamed Schus on the people who don't move from the back. Why is this? Because the Gemara says, I'm not making this up. You look it up right here in the Gemara in Sota. Because in the context of Birchas Kohanim, let's say you have a pillar in the shul. somebody who's standing behind the pillar, are they included in Birchas Kohanim? The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, afilu mechitza shel barzel, even an iron barrier, an iron partition, eina mafsekes, does not interpose ben Yisrael avim shabbat shemayim." Because the Melech says that the Sodeh is where I'm at right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He wants to give us a blessing. He wants to be with us. He says, even in the Sodeh, the people who are out in the Sodeh, they're working. They're so far tumult with Olam Hazeh. They got lost. They forgot about Yiddishkeit. They don't even know to go to shul. They too are part of the bracha. Nobody should feel they can't come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because nothing is a barrier. Afilu mechitza shel barzel. What do we start by saying? Rav Hirsch taught us that a Sodeh that doesn't have mechitzos. Because even if there was a mechitza, it's not mafsik. The world right now is like a Sodeh. So we have three ha'aras. Number one, a Sodeh has no mechitzos. There's no barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, the Sodeh is the place of meeting. It's the bridge. And number three, the Sodeh, even if it's choresh, even if it is far, even if it is disconnected, it is still where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find us, and we can find him. And maybe that's why, in a certain sense, this field, the concept of a field, in terms of applying it lamais, in terms of how we view ourselves, it's a shtickle field of dreams. Because what is a field? Ramban writes in Bereishis in Perek Beis, he says it's a place, a makom hanevad. It's a place that we work, that we nurture, that we cultivate. It's a place of cultivation. Adam, what does the pasuk say? Ki ha'adam, we read it a couple weeks ago in the parasha. Ki ha'adam eitz hasodeh. The Adam, the person, is the product, is the tree of the field. Each one of us, we grow in a field. That same Malbim talks about how the sodeh is a makom, a place of tzmicha, of growth. So we plant ourselves in a field and we realize it's an opportunity. Adam is from Adama. We're from the earth because we need to build ourselves. It doesn't matter. We might be absolutely plain earth right now, but we're kechomer b'yad hayotzer. We can put that earth and plant it and grow something beautiful. If we realize that the Melech is in the Sodeh and we could just reach out to him, we could take a few moments when we daven and think about and feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. If we listen to the shofar, if we take a few minutes to learn a parak of Mishnayos, we say a few prakim of one parak of Tehillim, we say with extra kavanah, we put our finger on the place and we read the Dovid Hashem Ori, we're growing our spiritual selves. Elul is a sodeh, meaning it's a time for growth. It's a time for tzmicha. It's a time for establishing spiritual dreams. Because ultimately, we're all in the sodeh. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the sodeh with us. He's saying to us, grow. There's a medrash that describes that all the grass grows because there's a malach that says, grow, grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us in Elul, let's grow. I'm here with you. I'm encouraging you. I'm supporting you. It doesn't matter if the sodeh is choresh. It's what the Gemara would call a stay near. A field that I'm in left fallow. It doesn't matter. It's a makom of tzmicha. It's a place of growth. Halavai, this Elul, we should realize this opportunity. That the Melech is in the Sodeh, that we are in the Sodeh with the Melech. That the Sodeh is that place where we can access Hashem with no barriers. It's the place of meeting, and it's the place of no matter where we've been or what we've done, Elul says we're back in the Sodeh, and with the Melech is here. It's an opportunity for us to grow. Let's grow ourselves, whether it's a tree, Adam eats a sodeh, or it's the grass, or it's going to be the tevua, the grain, whatever we're going to nurture spiritually for ourselves, our connection for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever aspect of our Yiddishkeit, to realize this Elul, the Melech is in the sodeh, and so are we. Have a great week. Stay well. Stay dry. Thank you all for joining us. Looking forward to continuing to learning. We actually have this week a special online lunch and learn, continuing our connection with Eretz Yisrael, with Torah Eretz Yisrael, with Rabbi Yedidya Neumann. We hope you'll join us on Tuesday, as well as lots of other wonderful learning opportunities. Have a great day. Be well. Kol Tov. Shana Tovah.